When running a business, HR issues can be a real problem. Wrongful termination suits, minimum wage requirements, labor regulations, and HR manager salaries aren't cheap, an average of $70,000 a year. Bambee, spelled B-A-M-B-E-E, was created specifically for small business. You can get a dedicated HR manager, craft HR policy, and maintain your compliance, all for just $99 a month. With Bambee, you can change HR from your biggest liability to your biggest strength. Your dedicated HR manager is available by phone, email, or real-time chat. From onboarding to terminations, they customize your policies to fit your business and help you manage your employees day-to-day, all for just $99 a month. Month-to-month, no hidden fees, cancel anytime. You didn't start your business because you wanted to spend time on HR compliance. Let Bambee help get your free HR audit today. Go to Bambee.com/getup right now to schedule your free HR audit. That's Bambee.com/getup, spelled BAM to the BEE.com/getup. Good morning. It is time to get up with the NBA's biggest stars. The plans are in place for their return with everything at stake. The question is, will it work? Meanwhile, just how much is too much for a guy who could become the best of all time? That's the question. Once and for all, it gets settled here this morning. And in the quarterback battle for the state of Ohio, which top overall pick will emerge number one? The answer may surprise you, and it's coming up as we get up with you, starting right now, on a Wednesday from Bristol, Connecticut. I am Mike Greenberg, and delighted you've chosen to get up with us here. We're with you for the next 2 hours. First Take will follow us in its entirety, and it starts with baseball, where all was quiet in baseball's negotiations yesterday, a day after Commissioner Rob Manfred said he was not confident there will be a season. The players, however, have remained unified in their message to the league. And when I say that, I mean it very literally. Many of baseball's biggest stars, including Mike Trout, Bryce Harper, Pete Alonso, Justin Verlander, Blake Snell, and Gerrit Cole, all tweeting this exact message yesterday, tell us when and where. So they are united. Jeff Passan is here. So the players clearly want to play, or at least so they say, Jeff. Why aren't they?
Well, they aren't playing, Greeny, because they still have not been able to come to an agreement with ownership on a return to play plan. And as we saw a couple days ago, as you saw firsthand, this thing blew up spectacularly after Rob Manfred said what he said, whether it was the fact that owners want 100% to come back on the field or that he's not confident there's going to be baseball this year. In the end, when players come out, Greeny, and say, tell us when and where, who does that put the onus on? It goes right back to the owners at that point. And when we've heard from owners over the last month or so, it's been from Bill DeWitt with the St. Louis Cardinals saying baseball doesn't make very money. It's been very much money. It's been from Tom Ricketts with the Cubs saying the losses are going to be biblical this year. It's been outlandish statement after outlandish statement. I would love to hear from an owner saying, I would love to have baseball this year. I would love to hear from all 30 owners saying that, just to give some sense of confidence that that is what they actually believe, when behind the scenes sources are telling me that's just not the case.
Right. So we have not really heard from the owners along those lines. We did hear an optimistic note from a very powerful executive, though. I want you to hear Yankees President Randy Levine. He was on the Michael Kay Show on ESPN Radio in New York yesterday, and this is what he said.
I sure do, and I hope so. And I'll tell you why. I think we have to turn away from the contentious issues which have been driving this negotiation. You know, I talk to the commissioner almost every single day. I can tell you he is determined to play this year. I've talked to all of the teams. They want to play. The players want to play. I believe the players are the heart and soul of this game. They're what people come to watch. And we must respect them, and we must honor them and move forward.
So, again, Jeff, he's not an owner, but he is a very connected and powerful executive within the sport. What is the significance of him saying that?
Beyond all of those things that he is, Greeny, Randy Levine was the person who on Major League Baseball's side negotiated the 1996 collective bargaining agreement. It was the first CBA after the strike. So he is somebody who's very well versed in labor relations. He's also very well versed in politics. And that was a politician statement right there. And if everybody in baseball acted like Randy Levine is talking, the game would be back on the field right now. But baseball owners need to put their money where Randy Levine's mouth is right now. They need to show that they want to come back. And something to watch out for this week, Greeny. Yesterday was a pretty quiet day on the baseball landscape in terms of, hey, what's going on? Who's talking this and that? If things stay quiet, there's going to be baseball this year. Because if things stay quiet, that will be a sign that they are going back to the norms of typical labor relations where they keep things behind closed doors and try to hammer out a deal without all of the media noise and all of the rhetoric and so many of the things that have led to poisoning the well over the last couple of months as they've tried to figure this out.
I'm with you. When I asked the commissioner about it on Monday night, he said the last time they'd actually spoken was the previous Sunday. So hopefully yesterday there was some of that conversation and they kept it quiet, and we'll see where it goes. Jeff, you'll stay on it. Thank you very much. Meanwhile, we could turn our attention to the NBA, where the Players Association told players that they have until June 24th to inform teams whether they plan to participate in Orlando. That was in a memo that was obtained by ESPN. Tons of information actually coming out yesterday. Players also received a separate handbook outlining more details of the Orlando bubble. And you may have seen a lot of this on social media yesterday. Some of the key points include the big question regarding a positive COVID test result. If it happens, a player must isolate away from the team resort for 14 days and pass a cardiac test to return to play. As for life on the grounds of Disney, players will have access to player lounges, pools, golf, and 24-hour food and concierge services. And an anonymous hotline has been set up to call into if anyone sees people violating the rules that have been set in place. So here is our insider, Brian Windhorst. Wendy, what should fans take away from your reporting on this last night?
Well, naturally, no doubles in ping pong because of social distancing. That's in there. But I will say that there's a couple of big questions. One, it isn't spelled out how many positive tests it would take for the NBA to consider shutting this down. It's left open-ended, other than that the NBA acknowledges they are expecting multiple positive tests. The other thing is, one of the big factors for the people going into the bubble is, can somebody be kept out? Can somebody be barred because of pre-existing conditions or medical risks? And the answer is yes. The NBA has a medical panel that has the ability to bar coaches if they don't believe that they can go there. And this potentially opens them up to a lawsuit. And the hope is that this will not come to this, but the NBA will have the right to say that you can't come in. And, you know, the other major factor obviously is the life inside there. The players are going to be in three different hotels, but for the first 2 weeks down there, they're not going to be able to associate with anybody outside their hotel. So if your good friend is on another team, you're going to have to stay with FaceTime. In addition to when you arrive in Orlando, up to 48 hours in your room. You may not leave while you quarantine.
So there's a lot in there, and I enjoyed just from a distance looking at the way they broke down the hotels. As one, we work for the ESPN, we're Disney World a million times, the Grand Floridian was always my hotel of choice, but that is neither here nor there for the purposes of this discussion. What is important here is the June 24th date that the players have to inform teams whether or not they're coming. What do we expect to see there?
Yes, so the players who choose not to come will not be penalized according to the league. However, they will not get game checks, which for, you know, a lot of players is several hundred thousand dollars per game, up to 14 checks. So you don't have to go, but then you won't get paid. The other component that is not in this document, and this is a very intense, a lot of work document, but there's no discussion about what the NBA might do to address and embrace the social justice initiatives that so many players are focused on. That is something that they are working on with the union right now, and that we are learning may be just as big of a factor at getting players to commit to the bubble as the health protocols.
Yep, Damian Lillard made that point with us the other night on the special, and certainly a lot of players are talking about it. We will have more coverage of that a little later this morning. Wendy, thank you. We're just getting rolling this morning. To football we will go as we continue. Jimmy Garoppolo says he wasn't bothered by the Niners' interest in Tom Brady. You believe him? We'll talk about it. And then Patrick Mahomes, the best quarterback in the NFL. But I'm going to tell you why the Chiefs need to be very careful not to break their bank to keep him. That and more as we go. Get up on ESPN.
Did you know Geico's now offering an extra 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies? That's 15% on top of what Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Your baby to let you sleep in?
What? We could sleep in another half hour? Thanks, sweetheart. And you'll change yourself, too?
There's never been a better time to switch to Geico. Save an extra 15% when you switch by October 7th. Limitations apply. Visit geico.com for details.
Foot odor throwing you off your game? Stick to a winning game plan with Odor Eaters, featuring three advanced odor and wetness fighters. The lineup provides long-lasting odor control plus more to keep your feet on their game.
Odor Eaters powder provides outstanding moisture control. Clear drying spray is the MVP in preventing athlete's foot, while insoles work continuously to manage wetness while adding a layer of comfort. Pick up today at Walmart, Target, CVS, Dollar General, or other fine retailers.
Odor Eaters. Destroy foot odor with the best in odor defense.
Back on Get Up, and let's get up and go through some of the headlines on this day in sports. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo approved the USTA's plan to hold the U.S. Open as scheduled in New York City without fans starting on August 31st. However, a number of top players have previously expressed concerns about playing, so we'll see what happens there. The governor of Ohio, Mike DeWine, said yesterday it is highly unlikely that there will be fans in attendance if the Pro Football Hall of Fame game is played as planned. That game is scheduled for August the 6th between the Steelers and the Cowboys. After not apologizing during a video message with Chuba Hubbard on Monday, Oklahoma State head coach Mike Gundy formally apologized in a new video posted on Twitter yesterday.
We had a great meeting with our team today. Our players expressed their feelings as individuals and as team members. They helped me see through their eyes how the T-shirt affected their hearts. Once I learned how that network felt about Black Lives Matter, I was disgusted and knew it was completely unacceptable to me. I want to apologize to all members of our team, former players, and their families for the pain and discomfort that has been caused over the last 2 days. Black Lives Matter to me. Our players matter to me. These meetings with our team have been eye-opening and will result in positive changes for Oklahoma State football. I sincerely hope the Oklahoma State family, near and far, will accept my humble apology as we move forward.
In response to that video, Chuba Hubbard tweeted simply, "A step in the right direction." And with that, we are at the top of the hour here, and it is 9 o'clock in the morning on the East Coast. I'm Mike Greenberg. I'm in Bristol, Connecticut this morning for Get Up. We'll be with you for the next hour and 45 minutes, and then at 10:45 Eastern Time this morning, First Take will come your way in its entirety. And our top story this morning involves the NBA, where the Players Association have told the players they have until June 24th to inform teams of whether they plan to participate in Orlando. That's according to a memo obtained by ESPN. Players also received a separate handbook outlining more details of what life will be like in the bubble in Orlando. And some of the key points include the biggest question, which is what happens in the case of a positive test. If that is the case, a player must isolate away from the team resort in a separate location for 14 days and pass a cardiac test to return to play. As for what life will be like on the grounds of Disney, players will have access to player lounges, pools, golf, and 24-hour food and concierge services, and an anonymous hotline has been set up to call into if anyone sees people violating the rules that have been set in place. Now, there's a lot to talk about here, and we will get to all of it. Malika Andrews has been working this story for us like crazy, joins us this morning, and the big fella, Kendrick Perkins, is with us as well. Malika, I'll start with you. You were working on this reporting overnight. What are the players saying?
overnight, and I'm a little tired. But essentially, Greeny, the players, a lot of them haven't gotten a chance to read through the entirety of the safety protocols that are laying out because, as you said, it took working a little bit overnight to do it. It is a dense document, and clearly the NBA in some way anticipated that because within the first 3 days that players are going to be on campus in the bubble, they actually have a mandatory educational session where they're going to go through all the points that are laid out in that 100-page document. But the players that I've been texting with, some of them said, you know, I'm getting a lot of the highlights from Twitter. Some of them said, I'm just happy to know a little bit more about exactly what it's going to look like in the bubble after months and weeks of uncertainty. And then a couple of players said, wow, it really is as restrictive as people were whispering about. And that came as a little bit of a surprise to them.
All right, and the big fellow, let me ask you here, from a health and safety perspective, and obviously there's a lot more to talk about this morning, and we will, but from the perspective of health and safety and life in the bubble, what did you think of all of it?
I love the idea, Greeny. Listen, I always said this. We have the best commissioner in sports in Adam Silver, and he never steered us wrong. So at the end of the day, I want to applaud him and the leadership that he has provided. And also, we never seen the Players Association and the NBA unite like they have did over the last couple months during this pandemic to come to a conclusion that we're going to continue the season. So right now we're talking about a $1 billion business that I'm pretty sure they have crossed their T's and dotted their I's. I have no worries at all. I have full trust in Adam Silver.
Yeah, and I've seen firsthand to some degree the partnership between Michelle Roberts, who runs the Players Association, and Adam Silver, who is the league's commissioner, and they do seem to be working as partners, which is a huge plus for them during this complicated time. Now, that's the health side of it. For the players, I get that that's incredibly important, but to the fans, there's another huge issue as the league is navigating, and that centers, of course, on the issue of social justice. So let's get to that. Avery Bradley, who was a co-leader of the Players Coalition, told ESPN, quote, "The actual act of sitting out doesn't directly fight systemic racism, but it does highlight the reality that without black athletes, the NBA wouldn't be what it is today. The league has a responsibility to our communities in helping to empower us, just as we have made the NBA brand strong." Meanwhile, on SportsCenter's Instagram Live with our Richard Jefferson, Bucks vet Kyle Korver said seeking change is more important to him than winning a title.
If my black teammates and friends and brothers feel like the best way to go about real change is to not play, I stand with them. Mm-hmm. I'm okay with that, right? If we think that is the best way for change, I care more about change happening than a championship, right? On the other side, I am on a team that feels like we could win, mm-hmm. and I have never won. I would like to win. So, yeah. is there a way to do both? I think there's a conversation there.
But these are the conversations that are happening both publicly and privately. And Malika, you have been covering this story going all the way back to its beginning. What stood out to you about the things that were said yesterday?
Yeah, so first of all, Greeny, I want to say that I did check in with some sources with the Bucks, and from everything that I've heard, Kyle Korver, one, is so motivated to make sure he amplifies the voices and the perspective of his teammates and is continuing to learn from his black and brown colleagues, but he also does want to play. There's a hope within the Bucks that they absolutely are motivated to do both. They very much want to continue to bring awareness to social justice and also continue to go after that championship. Now, Adrian Wojnarowski and I spoke with Avery Bradley yesterday, And up until Tuesday, it was a little bit convoluted what exactly the players were looking for from the league in terms of tangible action. And Avery told us three things. He said, essentially, what he would like from the league is a improved practice for hiring minority head coaching candidates, for hiring minority front office folks, for hiring minority people into the league office so that the people who make decisions in the NBA better reflect the racial makeup of the players. Secondly, he would like to see the NBA partner more with black businesses and black vendors in games. And third, he wants to see more of those financial contributions like what we've seen from Michael Jordan and Mark Cuban from the ownership side because he thinks, you know, players can only do so much and go so far. And he clarified actually that he isn't against the people who want to go and play, but what he believes is that those folks who want to go to Orlando and use their platform will be amplified even more, will have a larger impact if they have the owner's support behind them.
All right, and so he's been very much in the front of this, along with Kyrie Irving. Kendrick Perkins, you're a former player, and you are still so close to this, and I know how passionately you feel about it. What is your perspective on all of it?
Well, to me, man, when you're talking about Kyrie Irving, listen, Greeny, if you take Kyrie Irving's brain and put it in a bird right now, guess what that bird is going to do?
Mm-hmm.
It's going to fly backwards. Because Kyrie right now, he's confused. He's showing his lack of leadership. Here it is. Kyrie, you have been on these conference calls over the last 2 months. You're the vice president of the Players Association. You have been very involved in all this that has been taking place for us, whether or not we're going to play or not. And you have been on the phone and you have voted to play. And also, we go back last week. Just last week, he was reaching out to the Players Association and the NBA about, you know, players that are on the inactive list. Can they travel to Orlando? That he said he wanted to go to Orlando and be part of the team and be with his team and be a leader. And all of a sudden, within the next 7 days, because from what I was told, the NBA said, no, you can't go because of the pandemic and coronavirus situation, that the people, the bodies that are there are bodies that, you know, are that need to be people in place to, you know, take part in action. And so, in my opinion, when you look at Kyrie, I'm okay with you changing your mind and having a different way of thinking and saying, you know what, we need to make a stance, but and sit out. But what is the plan after that? He didn't have one. So once again, that showed his lack of leadership, Greeny. And guess what's been going on for the last 2 days in our world? Two people have been lynched in the state of Texas. A young African-American young lady was killed in Akron, Ohio, behind a hate crime. And have that been highlighted like it should have been? No, because for the last 2 days, we have been talking about Kyrie Irving. So, Kyrie Irving, right now, you are the distraction. You are the distractor. You distracting the whole situation. So, it's crazy to me because, you know, you come out and you do something separately without talking to your president, Chris Paul, or consulting with Michelle Roberts, and go off and do something totally different and get a group of guys together and say, let's sit out without a plan. It makes zero sense, and I totally disagree with Kyrie Irving.
Kendrick, one of the things that I thought was striking when Michelle Roberts was talking the other day, again, she's the head of the Players Association, she very specifically said, our players are talking about this. They're not fighting over it. Are you concerned right now, Kendrick, that the players are being divided by this issue?
Yes, I am, Greeny, because, listen, and one point only, for the players that decide to go, you have a small group of people behind Kyrie Irving. And God bless their heart, like those old people used to say. But the players who decide to go to Disney, a lot of those players are going to be frowned upon, especially in the African American community, because they're not educated, and they're going to say, "Oh, y'all shouldn't have played. Y'all should have made a stance. Stance for what? And stayed home? Who are you hurting? You're not hurting the owners. You're hurting the athletes, the African Americans, 80% who make 80% of the players that make up the NBA that could get extra money to provide back into the African American community. So yes, I do think it divides the player union that, by the way, has been strong as I ever seen it in my 17 years of being around the NBA.
Malika, from the people you talk to, what sense are you getting about any disharmony that might be being created by this circumstance among the players?
You know, I've heard pretty strongly from several players that there is the same end goal. There is just discussion surrounding what is the best way to get there. And I think that's part of what Avery was addressing with Adrian and I, is that, like I said, he doesn't, and he speaks on behalf of the coalition that actually does include Kyrie, they don't believe that players are wrong in wanting to go and use their platforms, but they are trying to come up with a better, more clear plan for what exactly that is going to entail, because Avery said that they haven't yet heard from the league any sort of specific plan of how they will make sure racial injustice stays front and center within the bubble situation. Now, that doesn't mean, and he said that doesn't mean it's not happening. We just haven't heard of those conversations yet. So it really seems like the majority of players, I would say likely including Kyrie, are looking forward to hearing those plans from the league.
Okay. We're going to leave it there for the moment. Big Perk, I appreciate your passion on this very much. I may take a short break. We'll come back. We'll have a little fun with Perk about an entirely different subject, and then we will get to some football. Jimmy G says he wasn't bothered by his team looking closely at Tom Brady, but do you believe him? We'll talk about it. Get up on ESPN.
GEICO gets you access to licensed agents 24/7, which means that GEICO is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like your mom, when you fill out really, really important paperwork on the first day of a new job.
Name? Check. Birthday? Social Security? Is that a thing? Hey, Mom, what is my Social Security number? Mom? 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 Okay, let's guess. 0017. Oh, Gemini. Hashtag. Done.
GEICO. Always there for you with savings and 24/7 access to licensed agents.
You know what, I hate Twitter. Tweet this, you know, Facebook that.
Social media doesn't count at all. Twitter doesn't count at all.
I don't have internet, I don't have Twitter.
I don't read the damn paper, I don't read Twitter, I don't go on Facebook.
We're on Snapface there when we're talking about
the Twittiots. That's just how people are.
When you tweet all that stuff out, don't press in.
That frickin' Twitter. I'm sick of it.
So we wanted to have a little fun with our big friend Kendrick Perkins. So yesterday, in discussing LeBron James, he posted that LeBron is the most athletic player in NBA history. And guess what happened to Kendrick Perkins? Bill Russell tweeted at him, "In 56, I could have made the Olympics in high jump, but turned it down to play basketball instead. We could only play one sport then. Track and Field News ranked me number 7 high jumper in the world. I was number 2 in the U.S. at the time." And look at that picture of a young Bill Russell doing the high jump. And Kendrick Perkins wisely backed down, saying, "Well, I've been checked by an all-time great, so sorry, LeBron, I've had a change of heart." Bill Russell is the most athletic player in NBA history. And we've got Kendrick back with us here for a moment, and Marcus as well. Marcus, I'd like your judgment on Kendrick. Did he handle that situation appropriately?
He handled it like a true G, man. That's what we taught around the parts where we from. You respect your elders, man, and you give them props. When they come for you, you bow down and you say the greatness has spoken and you leave it alone. Bill ain't the best athlete though. I love Bill Russell. And Bill Russell to the NBA family is the godfather. But Bill Russell ain't the best athlete out of him and LeBron, for sure.
Perk?
Well, Greeny, listen, that made my night last night. We're talking about 86-year-old Bill Russell, the legend. He took time out to tweet at Kendrick Perkins. You know what I did last night, Greeny and Swaggoo? I screenshotted the tweet and I printed it out, because guess what? I'm going to frame it and I'm going to have it in my office forever. An all-time greater.
Yes, sir.
Russell took time to tweet to me. That was a special moment. I don't care what he said. And he addressed me like the numbers on the house. So I don't even care.
Adam Silver always says, Bill Russell is the Babe Ruth of basketball, and he's still with us. So he tweeted at you, Kendrick Perkins, and I think you handled it exactly right. Thank you, big fella, and thank you for your passion and all the stuff that we talked about here this morning. Marcus, let's get to some football. 49ers quarterback Jimmy Garoppolo seemed unfazed when talking about his team's interest in the 6-time Super Bowl champion and then free agent Tom Brady. Jimmy G was talking to Matt Barrows of The Athletic, and he said, quote, "It kind of comes with the territory." He went on to say, "It's the NFL. There's competition. Everyone's trying to put the best team together they can, and that's just the reality of it. The one thing I can say about the whole situation was Kyle and John were very honest with me the whole time. That's their job, to put the best team together possible, and you've got to respect that. So as long as the honesty and truthfulness is there, I respect those guys. I love those guys, and it's going to be a fun year this year." So two different thoughts I want to get to on that. And Jeff Saturday's with us this morning as well. Marcus stays here. Jeff, let me start with you. Do you believe Jimmy G when he says, "Oh, yeah, I'm fine with the fact that even though I took this team to the Super Bowl, they were kicking the tires on another quarterback"?
Not even a little bit, Greeny. Not even a little bit. This got to bother you, man. As an athlete, as a competitor, you don't want to give somebody else your job. If Tom Brady decides he wants to be a 49er, you're looking for a job. That doesn't feel good, especially, you know, walking off a Super Bowl opportunity. So I think he understands fully that we all compete. But what else is he going to say? He's kind of backed in a corner. He's got to make good now. Rest assured, the only time he can really make the 49ers pay is next contract time. because he knows he's got a good football team. He's got to go compete this season. But there's no, I don't even believe it a little bit that it didn't bother him. They were chasing after Tom Pate.
So I'm good with that part of it. Marcus, here's the thing that I think is actually most important to consider. This is a team that made it to the Super Bowl last year. It wasn't Jimmy G's fault that he didn't have to do practically anything in the playoffs to get them there. And then he did not have a good day in the Super Bowl. So do you feel, considering the fact that the team did look at Tom Brady, like this is a make or break year for Garoppolo in San Francisco?
No, it's not a make or break year, G. I think that was a special circumstance with Tom Brady being available in free agency. I'm with Jeff, though. Like, it ain't no way in hell Jimmy G wasn't bothered by the fact that San Francisco was entertained in bringing Tom Brady in. But with that being said, man, I think we get caught up in the fact we think quarterbacks grow on trees in the NFL now. We think you can just knock a guy out and plug another one in and you'll be instantaneously better. That's not the case. Jimmy G had some bright spots. Let's be honest. He makes a pass against Emmanuel. He makes the throw to Emmanuel Sanders in the Super Bowl. And we probably not having this conversation at all about Jimmy Garoppolo and if he's the future. They've won. Now, obviously, he has to take his game to another level, but most quarterbacks in the NFL does. But he's the future. I mean, look, the greatest quarterback of all time very rarely comes up for free agency. And I'm sure a lot of other teams entertained Tom Brady, even though they're comfortable with the quarterback that they have. Jimmy G is fine. He'll be there. And they just re-upped Kyle Shanahan another 6 years. Kyle may look for a quarterback at some point in the future, but as of right now, Jimmy G is straight.
Really quickly, Jeff, if you're Kyle Shanahan, are you thinking to yourself, he's got to show it to me this year?
No, I think he's your guy. I mean, I think what he's done last year, even getting to the Super Bowl again, you're loaded up this season with true opportunity. Unless he completely regressed as a quarterback, which I do not foresee happening, I think this is the guy you ride with. You understand exactly what Swagoo said, man. Very rarely does Tom Brady show up as a free agent. It is what it is. It hurts your feelings, but you move on. Try to go win a championship.
All right, that's fair. You guys both see it that way. Who am I to disagree? Even though I do. Meanwhile, let's talk about another young quarterback as we continue. Is it Burrow or Baker? Which Heisman winner will have the better 2020 season? One outlet has the answer. I think we all disagree. We'll talk about it next.
Did you know Geico's now offering an extra 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies? That's 15% on top of what Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Your baby to let you sleep in?
What? We could sleep in another half hour? Thanks, sweetheart. And you'll change yourself too?
There's never been a better time to switch to Geico. Save an extra 15% when you switch by October 7th. Limitations apply. Visit geico.com for details.
Back on Get Up, and here they are, what you've all been waiting for, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers unveiling the first official look at Tom Brady in a Buccaneers uniform. They released 41 photos of Brady in full Bucs uniforms yesterday. Meanwhile, the offensive coordinator Byron Leftwich talked about how it's been working with Brady.
I know he's been saying things a certain way for so long, so when we communicate, we're able to just talk football because I mean, realistically, we all kind of run in the same plays. It's when we call them, how we teach them, and how we're trying to attack them that's different. It's not a play that he haven't heard of. It's not a play that he hasn't ran. Now we just got to figure out what he does well and make sure we run a lot more of those plays on Sunday than not.
All right, we continue here. Dominique Foxworth joins the party for the first time this morning, and Jeff Saturday still with us. And so, Nick, I'll start with you. The names on the backs of the jerseys suggest this should be a great offense. Do you expect the Buccaneers offense with Tom Brady at quarterback to be great?
No, I don't expect them to be great. Obviously, I expect them to be good, above average. But when I think great, I'm thinking of more than 100 EPA, like top three in the league type stuff, like the Chiefs and the Ravens and even the Cowboys offense last year. I don't expect them to be great. I do expect them to have a great start. But I think they'll tail off towards the end of the year in part because of that quarterback that they have in Tom Brady. He's getting older, and last year he held onto the ball a lot longer towards the end of the season, and his numbers went down drastically. He was, for the last six games they played, he was 22nd in the league for QBR and 29th in the league for completion percentage. So I don't know. Maybe it was just that situation over there. And I think holding onto the ball longer could suggest that maybe he didn't have the weapons he needed to play late in the season last year. But he didn't have those weapons necessarily, with exception of one week they had AB early in the season. So I expect Tom Brady at some point, Father Time, to catch up to him. And maybe they have a fast start. But by the end of the year, I expect that offense to be drastically slowed.
Interesting to see. Weather won't be a factor. That might have been one of the contributing factors to him going down there to Tampa.
Right.
They don't have any cold, literally no cold weather games on the schedule the entire season. And I'm looking at Evans and Godwin and three tight ends, including Rob Gronkowski. Jeff Saturday, do you expect Brady and the Buccaneers offense to be great?
Absolutely. I think Fox bumped his head, man. I don't know what happened to Fox. I mean, somebody check him out, man. He's been quarantined a little too long. I don't know what's going on. Hey, listen, Greeny, think about think about going five wide with those guys, right? I mean, think about trying to cover Howard and Gronk, and you spread out Godwin in the middle, a little slot. You got Evans. Those are three huge human beings, and a real fast one in the middle who's 6'1" at slot. These are good football players. And now you have Tom Brady, who's going to be dishing it out. I mean, I think there's no way this offense can't, without an injury, I think this offense rolls. I like what Leftwich just said, understanding, hey, what do we feel like Brady can do really well? And I love that the offense that they've run, they like seven-step drops, right? They like to hit the ball down the field. They like to hit the middle of the field, things that Brady hasn't done in a little while because he wants to get the ball out. But I think they'll come to a comfort level that each of them will give a little bit. This thing could be really powerful. I think it starts good. I think it actually ends better as opposed to what Fox is saying.
And that's critical because we're living in a world, Neek, with only one wild card. So he's concerned about the beginning. You're concerned about the end. Final word, Dominique.
I don't know. I think I changed my mind because Jeff's eyelashes got me asking questions of myself. They make me uncomfortable. I'm not sure what I think about anything anymore. So maybe Tom Brady will have the best offense in the history of the world. They might be the best team that was ever assembled. Whatever you say, Jeff, as long as you keep batting those beautiful eyelashes, I agree.
Hey, Jeff, by the way, when you changed teams in your career, did the new team ever release 41 pictures of you in the new uniform?
Absolutely not. Not nearly as handsome as Tom Brady, rest assured.
Look, that's a debate that we could have another time, but let's not do it right now. Let's turn our attention to another quarterback, and that one is Lamar Jackson. He and the Ravens are favored to win the AFC North for the second straight year. Our Football Power Index gives them a 70% chance to win what should be a very good division, loaded in particular with very well-known quarterbacks. And next up are the Steelers at 18%. We all know who their quarterback is. Big Ben is back. Pittsburgh hoping to get back to the postseason after missing out the last 2 years. FPI then says the Browns have a 12% chance to win the division. They haven't won it since 1989. That is the longest active drought in the NFL. And the Bengals have just a 1% chance to win after going 2-14 last year. Joe Burrow, of course, hopes to prove those projections wrong. And in this loaded quarterback division, Burrow will have to earn his stripes quickly. But we saw this yesterday. According to Pro Football Focus, Burrow is projected to have a better season than Baker Mayfield. These are the projections. You see them right there. And for those of you who don't know Pro Football Focus, I assume most people do, but for those who don't, this is not sort of a hot takey kind of a place. These are analytics-driven projections, and I found this very surprising. Dan Graziano and Marcus is back with us. So, Marcus, I'll start with you. What do you make of that idea that Joe Burrow will have a better season statistically than Baker Mayfield?
I don't buy that idea, G. And look, everybody understand the question. A better year. Who will ultimately be the better quarterback? That's a different discussion. The better year will be Baker Mayfield. Listen, you go by experience and you go by Njoku, Austin Hooper, Jarvis Landry, obviously Odell Beckham Jr., Nick Chubb, Kareem Hunt, and Stefanski coming in. Hopefully, he has a coach that's going to put him in a position to be successful, unlike he had last year. The ability to run the ball, but he's just surrounded by more talent. He'll have more opportunities when you look across the ball on Cleveland's defense as well. So a lot of things make up what will add to Baker Mayfield's possible success this year. He's going to have to prove individually that he can be the quarterback of the future, but I think he has a better season than Joe Burrow, because Joe Burrow, obviously, it's a shortened offseason. We're dealing with a pandemic. There's no familiarity with the guys in person outside of the possibility of some undisclosed workouts in different areas. So he has a lot of uphill climb to be a rookie starting and trying to win games in this league against a division with already some really good football teams. So I expect Baker Mayfield to have a better year this year.
Dan Graziano, I would argue with an improved offensive line and a coach who can't possibly be worse than what they had last year, Baker Mayfield has the best weapons of any quarterback in the NFL at his disposal. I would put the Browns, Swagoo just went through all the names. I would put them at the best. So if Baker Mayfield doesn't have a big year, to me, this could be big trouble for him and his future in Cleveland. How do you see it, Dan?
Yeah, I agree that he's set up for success. I think, you know, you look at all those targets that we talk about in the passing game, their depth, the quality of depth in their run game, right? We talk about Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt. I mean, that's a pretty, you know, powerful 1-2 at the top of your running back depth chart. But I think, you know, the Bengals are a little underrated in terms of the supporting cast around Burrow. I mean, Tyler Boyd, A.J. Green, you know, they draft the rookie. Joe Mixon is one of the better running backs in the NFL in terms of productivity and durability over the last 3 years. So he's got, you know, he's got some people around him. I'd still lean more toward Baker, but I want to make this point because Jeff Saturday is on the show today. I think it could come down to which team did better fixing its offensive line in the offseason. And the Bengals are getting back Jonah Williams, who was their first round pick last year. And they projected him to be their starting left tackle last year. And he got hurt in the offseason and didn't play. They see him as a major addition this year, and if he is, that changes a lot of things for them. Meanwhile, the Browns draft an offensive tackle in the first round this year. They signed Jack Conklin in free agency to play right tackle. I think they have a lot going for them in that area as well. So two very strong supporting casts, but I would lean toward Baker because we've seen him do it before in the NFL. We have yet to see that from Joe Burrow.
Let me get a quick take from Neek here, and then I'm going to get Jeff Saturday in. But Neek, let me get a quick thought from you. You like deeper analysis. What do you think?
Right. I mean, I don't think it serves us that well for me to continue to say what everyone else has been saying. So I'll try to view it from the other perspective because I think I agree with you guys. But what they're saying, we all agree that the surrounding cast of the Browns is better. And we also all agree that the defense of the Browns is better, which matters to your quarterback's production. But I think what they are saying is based on what we've seen from Baker in his NFL career, he's not a very good quarterback. And I think the numbers would support that assumption. And they're assuming that off of what could have been an anomaly for Joe Burrow in college football, where he had the best season that we've seen a passing quarterback have in the NFL. They're projecting that he's going to be at least above average. And Baker's numbers suggest that he's been close to average, but mostly below average. I still would go with Baker having a better season because I think that his accuracy, the issues he had with accuracy last year, were an anomaly, and he'll return to being able to throw the ball on target, and he makes good decisions. I think he's in better position to have a good season, but I do think in the long run, Joe Burrow might turn out to be a better NFL quarterback.
Marcus, I said it last week, and I'm going to say it again, and I'll leave it at this. I've got Jeff in here, so Jeff, I'll say it to you. The Browns are going to make the playoffs this year. The Browns, if you look at the names on the backs of the jerseys, there aren't that many teams that have better talent than the Cleveland Browns do. If they don't put it together, shame on them. I think the Browns are going to the playoffs this year.
I don't think they're going to make it this year, Greeny. I think, you know, again, talent does, you know, it's your stacked locker room. There's no doubt. But can you put enough together, enough continuity on the field for everybody to get? You just talked about Lamar Jackson and the Ravens over in there with the Steelers and what they're going to do. It's a tough division either way. But as they're coming out, at some point, this thing has to gel together. Four head coaches, 3 years, that just kind of everything that's going on with the Browns, it's going to take them a little more time. I don't think this year is the year.
All right, we'll find out. We'll come back to this.
That one chat with Jeff is too much for me.
We're going to come back to this. Because obviously everyone has a lot they want to say. Got to take a quick break here. We will come back. We will do more on this as we go. I'll also tell you that tomorrow night on ESPN, it's boxing. Jose Pedraza continues his quest for a third world title, when he faces Mikel LaPierre. Brooklyn's LaPierre has been working on the front lines of the pandemic at Mount Sinai Hospital as a data specialist setting up COVID-19 units. Should be a great night. Coverage starts tomorrow night, 8 Eastern, on ESPN and the ESPN app. As we continue, Tom Brady has 6 rings, Patrick Mahomes 1. If the Chiefs star wants to catch Brady, he should follow Brady's example. I'll explain next.